Okay, so diving into secure data transmission, huh? With all this e-privacy directive stuff happening over in the EU, we're going to try to pull out the need-to-knows from all your notes and research. Hopefully, we'll uncover some aha moments along the way, right?
Yeah, it's way more than just checking boxes for compliance, you know? It's about understanding why this stuff really matters in a world that's just swimming in data.
Yeah, it's not just about the EU, right? Like, this affects everyone. We all send emails, we buy things online, share personal stuff.
Right?
So, where do we even begin?
Well, we can start with the foundation of it all,
Okay.
encryption.
Right, encryption. Your notes, like, really emphasize this. It's the bedrock of keeping data safe, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. I mean, imagine this. You're sending a postcard, right?
Yeah.
But on it, you write your credit card number in big old letters for everyone to see.
Not the best idea.
No, not at all. And that's essentially what sending data without encryption is like. It's just out there in the open. But encryption, that's what scrambles it all up, makes it unreadable to anyone without the key.
Okay, that makes sense. But you also have all these different types of encryption. It's not just a one-size-fits-all thing, huh?
Nope, definitely not. Take TLS, for example. You know that little padlock icon you see up in your browser bar when you're on a secure website?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, that's TLS doing its thing, creating a secure tunnel between your browser and the website's server, basically preventing anyone from eavesdropping on your conversation, so to speak.
Interesting.
Then you got AES. Now imagine trying to solve one of those crazy complex jigsaw puzzles, but with like millions of pieces. Yeah, that's kind of the level of complexity that AES uses to scramble data. It's heavy-duty stuff.
Wow. So TLS is like our secure tunnel, and AES is this insanely difficult puzzle, and they both work to keep our data safe.
Exactly. And it gets even better.
Better. How so?
We can layer these methods.
Layering. Okay, what does that even mean?
Think of it like this. Let's say someone manages to break through one of those security layers, right?
Okay.
Well, layering means you've got another one right behind it, ready to stop them in their tracks.
Ah, like a backup.
Precisely. So if you're using TLS and AES together, man, it's like you've got a double lock on your valuables. That's some serious peace of mind.
Double the security, I like it. But your research dives into something else too, the e-privacy directive. And this feels like a blast from the past, coming out in 2002. Why should we even care about this old piece of internet law today?
Because, believe it or not, it really laid the groundwork for how the EU approaches online privacy and data protection. Even today, it's like the grandparent of the GDPR.
The GDPR, that's the current big dog when it comes to data regulations, really.
Exactly. But this a privacy directive, it's gone through some serious updates since 2002. Like, remember those cookie law pop-ups, the ones asking for your consent to, collect cookies?
Oof, yeah, those things are everywhere.
Well, that, my friend, is the e-privacy directive hard at work.
No way.
Oh, yeah. Back in 2009, the EU decided, hey, users need more control over their data, especially when it comes to these little trackers. So, bam, the cookie law was born. Websites now have to be transparent about what they're collecting and why.
Wow. So those pop-ups aren't just websites messing with us. There's actually a law.
You better believe it.
Huh, who knew?
Yeah.
What else did those 2009 changes include?
Well, they brought in something called mandatory breach notifications.
Okay, what's that?
So, in the past, if a company had a data breach, they might just, keep it hush hush, hope no one noticed.
Yeah.
But this privacy directive, it changed the game. Now, if a company has a breach, they have to come clean, not just to the authorities, but to the users whose data might be compromised.
No more sweeping things under the rug, huh?
Nope, no way. Public accountability is a powerful motivator. Companies are way more likely to take data security seriously when they know they'll be in the hot seat if they don't.
Yeah, no one wants to be on the news for mishandling people's data. So the e-privacy directive has evolved quite a bit since those early days.
It has.
But if the GDPR is calling the shots now, why are we even talking about this older directive?
Because they actually work together. Think of it like this. The e-privacy directive is like a specialist laser-focused on electronic communications, your emails, online messaging, that sort of thing. The GDPR, on the other hand, is more of a generalist, It covers a much broader spectrum of data protection issues.
So they're like two sides of the same coin, both working to protect our data in different but equally important ways.
Exactly. And get this, there's even more on the horizon.
Really? Like what?
Well, this is a privacy directive. It's getting a makeover with a brand new regulation in the works.
Oh, wow. New regulation. Okay, now things are getting interesting. What's the deal with this privacy regulation? What's changing?
Think about how much the digital world has changed since 2002. Heck, even since GDPR in 2018, this new regulation is all about playing catch-up. We're talking stricter rules for how companies collect data, a bigger emphasis on users giving consent, and a whole new approach to emerging technologies. I'm talking AI, machine learning, all that.
It sounds like they're trying to stay ahead of the curve, address these data challenges before they even fully become problems.
That's the idea. This e-privacy regulation, it's all about making sure our fundamental right to privacy doesn't get lost in our rapidly changing digital world.
Right. But even with all these regulations, they're just one part of a bigger picture, aren't they?
They are.
Because at the end of the day, securing data isn't just about legal frameworks, it's about the human element, right?
100%. We can have all the fancy technology in the world, but it's people who build it, manage it, and let's be honest, sometimes exploit it.
So it's a team effort then. We've got a whole cast of characters working behind the scenes to make sure our data is secure.
Absolutely. From the executives making the big decisions down to the IT specialists on the ground, everyone's got a role to play.
So we've got these regulations trying to keep things in check, but you mentioned a whole team of people working behind the scenes. Like, who are the key players in this whole data security game?
Well, first you've got to start at the top. The leadership team, the folks calling the shots, they set the tone, you know. Foster a culture of security within their organization. It's about them understanding that this isn't just the checkbox exercise, data protection. It's a core value. And that means allocating resources, prioritizing security measures, making sure everyone's on the same page.
So they're like the coaches.
Yeah.
Making sure the team is trained and ready to play.
Exactly.
Okay, but what about the people who actually build and maintain these systems? The ones in the trenches.
Ah, you're talking about the engineers. They're the architects, right? Taking those complex regulations and security protocols and translating them into real-world solutions. They choose the right encryption tools, they build secure systems, and they're constantly updating those defenses to counter new threats.
So they're the ones battling it out in the digital world.
You got it.
But it can't be just about building fortresses, right? You need someone to keep watch to.
Oh, absolutely. You need eyes on the ground, which is where data analysts come in. Think of them like digital detectives.
Oh, I like that.
Right. They're constantly monitoring systems for any sign of suspicious activity, using all sorts of sophisticated tools to analyze data flows, identify anomalies, connect the dots.
Right.
You know, before a small issue turns into a 5-alarm data breach.
Data detectives. Okay, I'm sold. But even with the best defenses and vigilant monitoring, sometimes things still go wrong. And that's when the auditors step in, right? Like, they're the ones making sure everyone's playing by the rules.
Exactly. Auditors are like the referees of the data security game, making sure everyone's following their rule book.
Yeah.
And that includes internal company policies, of course, but also those all-important regulations we talked about.
Right, right.
So they're conducting audits, reviewing those security measures, identifying any weak spots in the system. It's all about accountability.
So it's like this well-coordinated effort.
Yeah. Right?
Leadership setting the vision, engineers building it all out, analysts on the lookout for threats, and then you've got the auditors making sure everything's up to snuff.
Bingo. Each role as important as the next in maintaining a secure environment for everyone's data.
This is all super fascinating, and I'm learning a ton. But at the end of the day, why should this matter to, like, the average person? Because it's easy to get lost in the weeds here, right? All this technical jargon and regulations.
Mm-hmm.
But how does any of this affect someone who's just, say, ordering takeout online?
Because your data, it's valuable. And I don't just mean in some abstract ones and zeros kind of way. It's your identity, your finances, your personal life, all wrapped up in this digital package.
Right.
And every click you make, every purchase, every online interaction, it leaves a trace, a digital footprint. And that footprint, my friend, it's valuable, not just to you, but to advertisers, to data brokers, and yeah, unfortunately, sometimes to people with bad intentions.
So knowing how our data is being protected, that's empowering.
Exactly. It gives you the knowledge to ask the right questions,
yeah,
to demand better practices from the companies you interact with online.
Okay, I like that. Knowledge is power. But what can the average person actually do? Like, what are some concrete steps to protect your data online?
Well, it starts with awareness. When you visit a website, don't just blow past the privacy policy. Take the moment to actually read it.
Right, right.
Do they use encryption? Are they upfront about how they collect and use your data? If something doesn't feel right, you know, trust your gut. You've always got the option to take your business elsewhere.
Be an informed consumer. Don't just click agree on every pop-up without even thinking about it.
Exactly. You've got a voice and you've got a choice. Use them.
Speaking of choices, we've been like totally focused on how the EU approaches this whole data protection thing. But what about, you know, the rest of the world? Are other countries or regions stepping up their game when it comes to data security?
Oh, absolutely. The EU might have set a high bar, but other regions are catching up. Take the California Consumer Privacy Act, the CCPA. It actually gives Californians similar rights to, say, access their data, delete it, even opt out of having their info sold.
So California's like the EU of the US when it comes to this stuff.
Pretty much, yeah. And it's having a ripple effect. Other states are taking notice and either considering or enacting their own versions of data protection laws.
Wow, that's really interesting. But it can't just be a US and EU thing, right? What about other parts of the world?
Definitely not. Japan, for example, they've had a comprehensive data protection law on the books since way back in 2003, and they're constantly updating it to keep pace with how fast technology changes.
Wow, 2003, they were ahead of the curve.
They were. And then you've got Brazil. They introduced their own data protection law called the LGPD, which has a lot of similarities to GDPR.
So it seems like we are seeing a global shift toward stronger data protection. That's pretty encouraging, wouldn't you say?
It definitely is. But trying to harmonize all these different data privacy regulations across so many countries, cultures, legal systems, man, that's got to be incredibly complex.
That's got to be like herding digital cats.
Yeah.
Getting everyone on the same page.
It's a massive undertaking, that's for sure. But it's not impossible. There are organizations like the OECD and APEC that are working to, you know, at least try and facilitate those cross-border data flows while still upholding those important privacy standards.
So finding that balance, right?
Yeah.
Enabling global business and commerce, but not at the expense of individual rights.
Exactly. It's all about creating a system where data can move freely, but crucially securely, with the right safeguards in place. The tricky part is those international agreements and treaties, they often lag behind. Technology moves so fast.
Always playing catch up.
It's true. But the main takeaway here, it shouldn't just be about compliance. We need to recognize that data privacy, it's a fundamental human right. No matter where you live, how you interact with the digital world, it shouldn't matter.
It's about everyone having the right to exist in this digital age without having their information misused, exploited.
Absolutely. And that's what makes these global conversations about data protection so important. It's about finding common ground, establishing this set of universal principles that protect individuals in a world that's increasingly driven by data.
Well said. Well, I think we've reached the end of our deep dive into the world of data security.
Whew. We covered a lot of ground, that's for sure.
We really did. We talked about how crucial encryption is. We demystified the EU's e-privacy directive and that new regulation that's coming. We met the key players, the ones who are on the front lines of keeping our data safe. We even traveled the globe, virtually, of course, to understand how the landscape of data protection is evolving.
And through it all, I think the biggest takeaway is this: awareness is key. Education. And realizing that as individuals, we have power too.
Because your data, at the end of the day, it's yours.
It has value and it's worth protecting.
Couldn't have said it better myself. So stay informed out there, folks. Ask questions, demand better from the companies you interact with online. And until next time, keep exploring, keep learning, and keep diving deep.